We're following along the theme of going for growth. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verses 18 and 19, we read, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Now at this stage, I don't know what that new thing is. However, what I do know is that when God makes a statement like that, it will be fulfilled in His timing. And there lies opportunities for you and for I to be a part of it. It's easy to say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that, when you don't even know what the new thing is. If you take Jesus, for example, when he appointed his disciples, Peter, Andrew, James and John, four hardened, rough fishermen. None of them had a degree in sociology. Matthew, a hated tax collector. Even Judas, who would go on and betray Jesus. Have you ever thought about what would have happened if Judas hadn't betrayed Jesus? Then maybe Jesus wouldn't have been crucified and we would have no hope at all. But Judas was part of Jesus' disciples. And what Jesus did was to take a bunch of oddbods and teach him his ways. Sometimes they had to learn the hard way. But they were still with him. And that hard way helped to make it work. Because we see what happened in the book of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came down on all the disciples at Pentecost. And we read on in Acts how the early church took off tremendously and grew. That was out there. This is the area of West Auckland. And through the love of Jesus, this church has been built up to be his mouthpiece in this community. And he's provided for all of us every time. From the purchase of the well and all the services that are provided for those people who are in need, in pain, desperate, and who need to experience the love of Jesus to come into their life. And moving from the Memorial Hall to this building, God provided for us. The church will always be challenged. Just one example is the COVID situation we've all gone through. And I believe that that challenge is to keep us on our toes and to see just how faithful we are. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we up for that challenge? Have you the heart for it? Do you need a new heart? What does Scripture tell us? Well, a lot, actually. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31 says, "Rid yourself of all the offences you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit." Further along in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Jesus' disciples were taken out of their everyday situations. And what he gave them was teachings and examples of his love for the community. He was equipping them to carry on his work because he would be going back to heaven. The disciples gradually absorbed wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. Yes, they made mistakes, and so will we. But God doesn't give up on us, and I hope that each one of us won't give up on him. About 6 years ago, Sue and I planted an olive tree in our garden. In July this year, Sue said, "I think it's dead." Even though it's this high, it was taller than me. The branches were sorry looking. The leaves were brown and dropping down. The trunk was about that size. Out came the saw. And cutting down near the base of the trunk, off it came. Only the stump left. Now, anyone that's been to the Mediterranean at all, to any of the countries from Spain right through to Italy, Greece, all around there, you will have seen olive trees. And you may have brought back souvenirs made from olive wood, a really, really hard wood, which accounts for the blister on my hand as I was sawing down the trunk. One month later, I went out to the garden doing some weeding, and what I saw was the wooden stump had a small growth just on its side, only about 3 inches high, but new shoots were growing. Yesterday I went out and looked again before the service today, and it's now up to here. What had been planted had grown. But like COVID, suddenly seemed to be dead. But like Jesus' burial, it is rising again. And in fact, looking stronger than ever. And we have to remind ourselves that if there's anything that can be a barrier in our life, we need to get rid of it. It doesn't matter what age we are, from the youngest to the not so young, there is always the opportunity for something niggly to creep in. Now, the book of Galatians in the New Testament has a lot to say on the matter, bringing up things like idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy. The list goes on. And while we hold on to any of these things, we create a barrier in our life. But one thing I notice when you read the Bible is this, that after the negative things are spoken, God always puts in positive solutions by replacing with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's not an easy one. We all know that, but it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Because when we use these fruits, other people will be blessed, whether they're Christian or not. 3 weeks ago, we had a worship song, which several people commented afterwards on various lines. I'm also going to use a line from the song, and it is this. Come take your vineyard you planted, and make us your wine. See, even in the Bible, and in the praise and worship songs that we sing today, we can see God wanting to work with us. Something else that was spoken a few weeks ago and can be a stumbling block is our attitude. Attitude? I haven't got attitude. What do you mean? That's not really showing much love at all when we have that sort of attitude. It goes against the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm reminded that when we take communion, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 to 26, it says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And it continues on, and it's an important verse. A man ought to examine himself before he eats and drinks of the cup. It's testing the attitudes of your heart, your actions, and your awareness. I want to come back to the beginning where I read from Isaiah 43:18. It says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And there's several ways of looking at that. We learn from the past, but we don't want to stay in the past or we will be stuck there. It's time to move on. There's going to be new opportunities. Don't let the attitude of, well, we've always done it that way, don't let that block your way. God is doing something new and we need to embrace it. Here is a tomato. Year after year, you can put it in the ground and grow it, and it will come out exactly the same. If you give it some feed, you will end up with tomatoes like that. Mr. Smallwood has an abundance of tomatoes at the moment. Please see him afterwards if you need any. But you see, as Christians, we are not going to give ourselves that, because that would be silly. What we have is the Bible. That is our feed, our human feed. Very often in olive wood, but in other woods as well, you will see knots in there. And they can be difficult to saw through, believe you me. But you see, we can have knots in our life. I'm going to ask you now just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to read out a prayer. And if you recognize things in that prayer, today is the day to release it, as God has something else for you. And I'll give you that at the end. And so please just bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we ask, please release us from the could knots and the would knots that obstruct our life. I ask that you remove from my mind, my heart, and my life all of the I am nots that I have allowed to hold me back, especially the thought that I am not good enough. Amen. Now, it's been said a few times, but I was thinking as well about how you can be involved. And I thought about anyone who's isn't involved at the moment would think about it. I think situations like the well, which always want volunteers. Think of things like the tea and coffee rotor, the children's work. Even musicians, even technical services. And you think, so, well, I don't know how much tea and coffee to make. I don't know what to do with children. I don't know if I could do it in the well or anything like that. Let me make one thing perfectly clear and common. If you take it up, that volunteer and or rotor experience, you never, never work on your own. You're always working with others. You are part of a team. We are a team. Always remember that. So don't be put off because you don't know how much make the coffee. You will be with other people who know how much coffee to make. But I would encourage you, if you're not involved in something, to have a go at it. Or if you are involved in it, but think, you know, God's doing a new thing. Maybe I should do one of the other things. That opportunity is there. For the well, see Andy Mitchell. For the other things, see Linda Hancock. Ask any questions that you want. What I'm finally coming to is, and I'm going back to Isaiah again, but this is a promise for all of us. Isaiah 48, verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. I think that is a fantastic promise from God, and it's for every single one of you here today. Amen.